Welcome. This is Econa Day Unplugged, and it is July 18th, 2017. With me today are Mark Pender in the U.S. and Jeremy Hawkins across the pond in the U.K. I am Ann Picker, Econa Day's chief economist. Jeremy, the ECB meets, and Brexit continues to wend its way through position taking by both the EU and the UK. And inflation data for the UK was a surprise this morning. Tell us more.
Okay, well, let's kick off with the ECB then. Now, in some ways, it shouldn't be interesting, but I think in actual fact, markets will be concentrating upon it quite closely. So, as you mentioned, ECB on Thursday, and investors will be watching it not so much for what the policymakers might do, which is widely expected to be nothing in terms of official interest rates or quantitative easing asset purchases, but rather what they might suggest they could do in the future. Now, the next meeting will be on September the 7th, when new official economic forecasts will be released. And that in itself will, of course, provide the opportunity for what the ECB likes to call, you know, a recalibration of policy. Now, financial markets are already getting used to the idea, or at least expecting to hear from Mario Draghi, some hints that come September, we could see the introduction of some form of quantitative easing tapering, or at least the announcement of that with regards to some sort of process for next year. So when we go into Thursday's meeting, as I mentioned, in terms of the big policy rates and quantitative easing, don't expect anything at all. But particularly given the rise we've had in the euro against the dollar, notably after the CPI figures from your side on Friday, your markets, I think, now have built in some kind of expectation that Mario Draghi is going to talk up the eurozone economy and kind of intimate that, yes, it's not a bad thing to expect some kind of shift in the policy stance, albeit forward-looking, once we get into September. So that, I think, in itself makes it an important Thursday. Justification for that, well, of course, we've seen pretty good numbers coming out of the eurozone over the last month or so. Stronger expected retail sales, industrial production. The PMIs have held up pretty well too. But, and I think it's an important but in this case, is that, you know, the ECB does not want to see this rally, I suspect anyway, in euro dollar continuing. They've been relying partly on a relatively soft euro, you know, to boost eurozone exports into the States and help to keep this recovery going again. Now, we have seen stronger domestic demand of late coming out the eurozone, but I think Mario Draghi in particular would be very frightened that if he were to come out and intimate that tightening is perhaps not that far away on Thursday, we could see some sort of reaction coming through in the euro, and certainly he wouldn't want to see a stronger euro, or at least a much stronger euro at this particular time. So Thursday, although no one's expecting it in terms of the big rates, it could still be one to watch. I think something also helping the euro at this stage, and you've touched upon it already, is the Brexit that is shambles at the moment over here. Now, most of the question has been, you know, what is the final shape of this Brexit deal if we were to get one going to look like once the EU and the UK sides have finished negotiations? More of the question mark now is exactly what the UK side wants in the first place. Over the course of the last week or so, there's been this war going on between various sides of the UK cabinet under Theresa May, which has left most people, not least the EU Commission, you know, completely in the dark as to whether we want a hard Brexit, a soft Brexit, part of the customs union, not being a customs union, or whatever. Now, that, I think, should be bad news for the pound. But more importantly, I think at this stage, the implications are that we're back in that kind of, you know, scenario now whereby the Theresa May government, which as sure as people remember is a minority government, could fall. Certainly, if we don't see some kind of cohesion coming across from a UK cabinet, then I think there's every chance that we will see this government fall, and that would lead to another general election. And the outlook for the pound, just quickly sticking with exchange rates, hasn't been helped, as you mentioned, the UK inflation numbers out today. We saw, I won't talk too much about the headline rate, and that was down to 2.6 from 2.9%. We got oil market, a big factor in there. But the core rate declined from 2.8%. That's the first fall we've seen in this core rate since March. And the signs are that perhaps, you know, this is consistent with the idea that the consumer sector in the UK is slowing. And of course, if that's the case, the chances of UK interest rates going up, as some people have been talking about this year, kind of goes out the window. So I think at this stage, the pound is looking increasingly vulnerable.
Thanks, Jeremy. The ECB is not the only central bank meeting this week. The Bank of Japan also is meeting. No policy change is anticipated there either. But bank watchers will parse BOJ Kuroda's press conference after the meeting for comments about its massive bond purchase program and its ETF purchase program. The ETF program has come under some scrutiny, concerns about how that's going to impact the Nikkei and Topics stock indices and the like. And so the discussion goes on. Mark, big week for housing data.
Yes. Hi. We had this is Tuesday, and we had the housing market index, and it showed some slowing. The housing sector, housing data, opened the year very strongly, and then slowed in the spring. And now we're getting mixed signals. We had strong sales numbers in May that followed very weak numbers in April. But the outlook for June isn't that great. Not only are home builders showing a little bit less expectations, but we had pending home sales data last week, and they were down. And that was for 3 months in a row. So that's a negative for final sales of existing homes. New home sales are probably doing a little bit better than the resale market. They're sloping a little bit higher, and everything is sloping higher. Really, the single greatest strength in the economic data is home prices. And they're running at about 6%, depending on what data set you use, but that's pretty good. That's a pretty, they're all converging in about at about that rate, which in a low inflation, low interest rate economy, 6% isn't that bad. Where are you going to get 6%, you know, in something that is a steady, important in investment, highly liquid investment? So I think right now we were having housing starts and permits tomorrow. That was another disappointment, and that and these numbers go into the GDP, the second quarter GDP. So, and they both in all of the different readings, whether you're looking at condos or whether you're looking at single family homes, they all fell. And it's but again, it's a slowing. The general trend, housing data is very important that you smooth out the numbers. These are volatile numbers. Some of the indicators have very low sample sizes. And when you average everything out together, you see, and you step back, you see everything's continuing to slope higher. Now, compared to the prior expansion 10 years ago, and then, of course, ended in a gigantic bubble, but compared to that expansion, levels are far down. The whether you're looking at payroll, construction payroll totals, or you're looking at housing starts, or you're looking at any of these numbers, it's really the rate of growth is much slower. The levels of growth, or the levels in the totals, are much lower. But that's probably a plus in the long run, because last time there was a gigantic bubble, and it all reversed and collapsed. And so maybe what we're really seeing in the housing sector for this expansion is probably a pretty healthy. It's frustrating because it's not moving very well, and the spring season is a very important season for the housing sector, and that is another indication of possible trouble for second quarter GDP. So, and then the week following, we're going to get existing home sales, final sales in June, and then we're also going to get new home sales. And boy, it's tough to make month-to-month calls, but with rates as low as they are, mortgage rates staying low, and with the job market continuing to rise, even though there's not a lot of wage strength, the housing sector is probably still going to be the you know, ultimately for the 2017 economy, with the factory sector kind of barely moving forward, with the consumer sector in trouble. It looks like the housing sector is going to have to remain steady and strong for the U.S. economy for 2017.
Mark, Not so very long ago, you were sort of, you know, suggesting that the slowdown in the first quarter economy could be temporary and due to one-off factors. But increasingly, you've been talking about, you know, not the kind of rebound that perhaps people were hoping for in the second quarter. Do you think there's been some kind of sort of stock adjustment now in the rate of growth of the US this year? And if that is the case, I mean, well, what's your opinion on when the Fed will tighten, if indeed they do tighten again next year?
Well, I don't think people have moved down their GDP assessments yet. I think that that still has something to go. And, you know, we had the failure of the to repeal Obamacare. It didn't even get to the floor in the Senate. So there was a lot of built-in assumptions on the 2000 economy that weren't just talking about economic forecasting. We're not even talking about the stock market. Right. We're just talking about there was a lot of expectation 6 months ago that there would be fiscal stimulus and that there would be corporate tax cuts. And all this right now is it hasn't appeared and it's completely up in the air. And I think that the first effect you're going to also see, or what we've already seen, is this weakness in consumer spending. And we had a very disappointing retail sales report for June, declines, and it doesn't look like we still have consumer services to go, and that could still pull out in June. But as far as there's not a lot of fire in the consumer, I don't think that people really realize that the Q2 wasn't as strong as it was, but as people thought. But Q1 was so soft; it was what was it, about 1.5%. I can't remember the last revised number, but that makes an easy comparison. And but you know, Jeremy, we were talking before about seasonal adjustments, and the assumption had always been that the numbers weren't adjustments weren't adding back enough to the first quarter. Well, maybe it's reversed. Maybe they added a great deal of the first quarter at the expense, perhaps, of the second quarter. So I think that there could be another seasonal adjustment issue. But adjustments aside, you can look at all different kinds of indicators. You can look at company news. Right now, the nation's retailers are suffering, and there's no question about this. And it's not just e-commerce. There's something fundamentally going on right now, and or at least there is no pickup. There's no animal spirits like you see in the stock market, and like I think you saw in initial forecasts for the 2017 economy.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Jeremy. Until next week.